All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode that is almost...
Dancing in the Mirror.
No, it's pre-recorded.
F***ing it's dress.
I got an email here from a guy a while back. I just found it. It's on an old email account I used to use to give to individuals in the service from time to time, and I guess it's still floating around out there. So I'm going to read it to you right now.
Do you like stories about serial killers? What about psychics? How about a psychic serial killer with a conscience wiping out the filth of society?
Yeah!
If you thought Dexter was a great show that went soft in its final seasons, these are the books for you. Introducing The Jericho Files, written by an old infantry grunt who has seen evil firsthand and digested it into grade-A gore porn with 5-star reviews all around. Click on the link tree in the Meat Gazer box and buy your copies today on Amazon, you filthy, dirty riggers.
The guy's name is Mike Unknown. I'm not going to use his last name. He's out of the Army, but he did some time in the service, so it reflects in the email. All right, he's saying, how did you get to 497 lives saved? I've been following you for quite some time and have paid attention to the live save counter. I am beyond words at this point. I showed your channel to my shrink at Fort Bragg while I was dealing with PTSD and depression.
Why don't I start? Huh?
Due to a divorce immediately after I returned from Afghanistan in 2017. My shrink laughed his ass off, and he has been referring your channel to other soldiers until I ETS'd out of the service in 2019.
My nigga.
And yes, I have been chasing my child across several states to stay in contact with my two kids. I wish my chain of command had your sense of humor. I might have stayed in.
Do you think I'm cute, Private Powell? Do you think I'm funny?
Please explain how you do it. How did you remain funny with all of the negativity in the world and what happened to you? And why you are doing it, the world needs to know. Okay, so let me put this down here. All right, this is the way it works out here, using comedy. When I first started this journey, I started secondclasscitizen.org. It's a nonprofit. And we did a video called Purple Heart's Final Beat, Phantom Holiday, and about 2 or 3 other ones. We'll link them in the low bar. And you can watch them and, tell me what you think. But they were incredibly negative, all right? On top of that, you know, I was fresh out of a divorce, dealing with unresolved TBI and head injury issues and PTSD. So I could not remain in that negative mindset for a long period of time. It was just becoming too destructive. Okay, you can only take so much pain, disappointment, and what have you before, you know, something inside you breaks. I had to change tactics. Now, doing the negative stuff, did I educate a lot of people? Yes. The Purple Heart's Final Beat video was responsible for quite a few lives saved, because that thing came out in 2009, and by 2011, we were up to somewhere between 125 and 130 guys who had come forward and said that video had kept the gun out of their mouth.
You son of a bitch.
Okay. Also, I don't really go into detail a lot about this, but, you know, roughly 2008-ish, I just got done, you know, being homeless for a while, and I was working full-time for the Army. AGR, Army Reserve, which, you know, it's a sweet spot in between active duty and Army Reserves. And, you know, it wore me down. The divorce, the PTSD, you know, I was behind on child support. My ex-wife was playing games with my visitation. She had killed my dog.
Just like a woman.
During the divorce, just to, you know, destabilize my thinking meat, which was fairly successful. And I myself, just going to be honest, I was there, man. I was so close to just, you know, punching out.
So listen up, boy, or pornography starring your mother will be the second worst thing that happens to you today.
Oh! And while I was at work, I had a former commander come and visit me. I'm not going to use his name because his widow was out there and I don't want to stir up any negative feelings, what have you. All right, so he comes in. I was his platoon sergeant when he was the first lieutenant for like a year and a half, almost 2 years. And, you know, you get to know a guy pretty good. We were really good friends. We shot the shit for like half a day, you know, from like 11 o'clock to like 3:30. We went to lunch and everything. And I didn't see it on him. I could not detect it. But he was doing his last hurrahs. He was basically doing the rounds to say goodbye to people in his life. And that's what he was doing. And a couple days later, he went to the Holly National Cemetery and blew his head off. Put on his dress blues. Apparently, there was a note. I never got to read it. I don't know the exact circumstances. He was not going through a separation nor a divorce. So, you know, his reasons, I don't know what they were. But more than likely, it had something to do with soul cancer, which is that little bit of oblivion you bring back with you from deployment. And a lot of guys, it just eats them away until they die. And that's what happened. Now, I was planning to do almost the exact same thing. All right, that was within 4 or 5 days of that event. And once I found out, I was pretty upset. I got earmarked to run his funeral since I knew him. I couldn't decline. You know, it would be dishonorable and I would be a moral coward if I had done that. And I'm not that guy. So, you know, I had to train the 21 gun salute team and the fold flagging and I had to go through all the rehearsals. We got it all squared away. And, you know, we did his funeral and it was huge. He was well-loved, well-liked. There were people standing outside that couldn't get in. You know, it was just heartbreaking when we finished the ceremony and then they wheel him outside and we do the 21-gun salute. And it's like 250 people came up just to put their hands on the casket. It was crushing, man. It was crushing. Still gets me today. Now, the way it is to me, the way it sounds to me, or the way I interpret that whole craziness, because the universe operates very, very weird patterns. It's quite chaotic. But looking back on it now, because that was, you know, over almost 20 years ago, he took the bullet that was meant for me. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, that's just a huge debt to repay. But it is what it is. So right after that is when we started 2CC. Roughly 2012-13, we flipped the script over to Redonkulous. And we started using comedy to try to educate men out there to the dangers of marriage and feminism and what have you. I still got people that would send me, you know, emails or a text or tell me to my face that, hey, you kept the gun out of my mouth. And I kept a count. And I really didn't take it as serious as I should have. And that's on me, okay, 100%. But the numbers kept climbing. And we're up to 550 as of this filming. Live of men saved from suicide using comedy, logic, and reason. Now, why I'm doing this? I'm sick and tired of burying guys over stupid bullshit. All right, if they just knew the rules of the game, the foolishness of the whole men-woman dynamic, and they stopped simping and falling for the traps, I can make a huge dent in the suicide numbers by preventing them from walking into the trap. Because in my opinion, the leading cause of male suicide out there is divorce court. I mean, I'm putting it right at their feet because I saw it firsthand, up close and personal when I was going through my divorce. Like, quite literally, you know, I lost my kids, I lost my house, I burned through $97,000, lived, and I wound up homeless. On top of that, I was dealing with recovering from a pretty substantial TBI, a minor stroke, and had PTSD. Yeah, I was called a murderer and an assassin in court. Now, mind you, I didn't know that this was happening to a bunch of other people. I mean, I knew men were getting screwed over, but I didn't know the extent of just how evil they are there. And then as I researched it, and I made a whole bunch of videos about different subjects in regards to divorce and men-women dynamics, I just realized that for a lot of dudes out there, the pain of losing their kids is literally the straw that breaks the camel's back. I've been trying to save these guys. Now, I call myself a comedian. I don't really do stand-up. I mean, I've signed up for places, and I have the wrong skin color, the wrong politics, and, you know, I'm the wrong gender. I never really get called up on there, and it's okay. Not a big deal. I do it on the internet, and it's not really stand-up quality. It's more like comedy lectures. What the guys out there don't realize is I'm literally flipping switches in your thinking meat and reprogramming you, and you're laughing along the way. Because a lot of people put up these guards, and you can crush them, break them down with comedy, and that's what I've been doing. I got a couple sources here I want to go over. All right, now this is psychologlogs.com. What is comedy therapy? I'm not going to read you the whole article, but let's just pull this up here. Other benefits of comedy therapy. All right, improves resilience. Now, the military has been harping on resiliency training for over a decade, and it has failed miserably and cost this country billions upon billions of dollars. I'm doing it for free. Literally, I get people laughing, and I can literally assist them in being more resilient to the tragedy and the negativity of this world or the universe as you look at it. It provides relief from anxiety, makes life less sad, and adds joy to your life. Diffuses conflicts, improves relationships, increases bonding and teamwork in groups. I've seen that in the military. Increases the production of serotonin, which, you know, relieves a lot of stress. Lowers cortisol levels, improves interpersonal relationships, and helps those struggling with isolation and loneliness. You're getting all that, and all you really got to do is tune into the channels on YouTube and Rumble and all the other video platforms that we have.
It's a deal. It's a steal. It's sale of the century.
Now let's move on to the next one here. And all right, this next one here is from Sigmund Freud, a founder of the modern psychology method, let's just say. He recognized that humor can serve a purpose in his 1905 book, Jokes and the Relation to the Unconsciousness. He discussed the role that humor can play a role in venting emotions and overcoming inhibitions. Humor also has other benefits. So here's another aspect of humor right here. And this is from Jerry Seinfeld, The Power of Perspective. In his speech to Duke University graduates, Jerry Seinfeld said, "What I need to tell you as a comedian, do not lose your sense of humor. You can have no idea at this point in your life how much you're going to need this to get through. You got to laugh. That is the one thing at the end of your life you will not wish you did less of. Humor is the most powerful, most survival essential quality you will ever have or need to navigate through the human experience. It's your Stanley Cup water bottle on the brutal, you know, long hike of life. Wow. There you go. Humor's the best medicine. I've been doing this for 15 years. I got 1,300, somewhere between 1,300 and 1,400 videos on YouTube and Rumble and all over. What can I say? I've covered virtually all the subjects, divorce. You know, I did homeless suspicion points early on.
Ha! Gay!
I am blessed. I truly am. And I'm not doing this for the money.
We're not just doing this for money.
You know, if money comes, great. I'm not going to turn it away, but I'm not doing this for the money.
We're doing it for a load of money.
I mean, the headaches I've had to deal with, you know, the moral price I've had to pay, plus other fees and expenses that I've had to take away from my life to save all these guys' lives from suicide is monumental. Most people will not do it. And quite frankly, over the past 15 years, I think I'm the only comedian out there that's using his talents to save lives and not stuff his pockets. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. You know, people need to make a living. But my comedy was not forged in open mic nights. It was forged in front of soldiers who were hopeless, paralyzed in terror, hesitant through fear, had their heart ripped out from Dear John letters, divorces, loss of children, deaths in the family, you know, guys who had very low morale because of the shit command we had, the toxic leaders. And I would just get them laughing to keep them moving forward. And on a few occasions, I got them laughing, and then they followed me into battle. Now, that's my answer to this email, and hopefully you guys find some wisdom in this and use it for your own lives. And please pay it forward, like and share this video as far and wide as you possibly can, because YouTube, in my opinion, is being run by the forces of darkness, and they don't want this message to ever get out. There's a man out there instructing other men how to build their own hope using laughter and finding hope through comedy and taking the gun out of their mouth and help them get over whatever is crushing them in life and play the long game and stay in the goddamn fight. You guys take it easy.